one who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. That's what I want. And that can fit a man too. But man, if you're fearing God in a reverent way, y'all gonna get some cookie. I call blessings cookies. Because the more you obey God and the more you fear Him in the reverent fear, not hiding under the table, because if you're a Christian, you have no reason to do any of that. But we need to kind of learn how to reverence the Word of God. So anybody wants, I'll name the scripture when I get there, and if you want to read it, fine. Not everybody likes to read, but there's no stumping in these scriptures that they just passed out. And if you don't feel like reading it, that's fine. No problemo. Oh, before I get started, I say this all the time. Before I get started, last call. This is my mom and my dad. September 14th, 1944. That's a dress. That's not a dress, that's an Aubrey Hepburn movie. My dad was a cousin. Apple falling on the apple tree. He was in the U.S. Air Force.
Oh, wow.
Lieutenant Colonel. They were married 25 years. 25 years. How many of you been married 25 years? You've been married 25 years? That's a long time. 30 years? That's a long time for anything. And congratulations. How many of you want me to sing an Elvis song?
You
ain't nothing but a hound dog crying all the time. I forgot to take my meds this morning. I don't really care. I'll take my meds after. I need to be hyper for ministry a little bit, you know. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian for quite some time, but I'm struggling with the three-letter word. What is Christians struggle with? Sin. Sin is an issue, even with Christians, isn't it? And so I want to talk about struggling. If you're a Christian, hopefully you are. If you're not, be a Christian today, because you're not promised tomorrow. And God doesn't want anybody to suffer and go to hell. He says in His book, He does not want anyone to suffer. He wants everyone to come to a place of repentance. It's not His will that people suffer, but in light of His sacrifice, Jesus being perfect, living a life we could not live, if you don't put your faith and trust in Him, you die in your own sins, you will pay for your own sins. So we don't want anybody to die and pay for their own sins when God has already paid for them. He's going to be insulted, I promise you that. See, God's wrath is perfect. God's love is perfect. He never does anything not perfect. He doesn't want to send anybody to hell. If you're not a Christian today, I've got two ladies over here to tell you how to be one. So He said, I'm struggling with sin. Okay? Join the club. That's what I said. Join the club. Don't you like people, preachers or teachers that are honest?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm holier than thou. I don't sin. I see those people on TV. Get out of my face. That's just bunk. So the question is, we're going to learn about how to have victory. Say victory.
Victory.
Say victory.
Victory.
Say I want some of that.
I want
some victory through my dark times of when I struggle or fall into sin. Some people fall into sin. Some people dive into it. See, but you've got to have this. Even though a Christian sins, you hopefully you don't like it. If it doesn't bother you, you may not be a Christian. Because you can't have the Holy Spirit indwelt in you and enjoy sinning. Your conscience should be activated and tell you that you're doing wrong. You're lying too much. You're stealing too much. You're doing the wrong thing too much. You're thinking bad thoughts about somebody too much. That's murder in God's eyes. Did you know that? We're all murderers if you thought bad about somebody in your mind. Jesus said you're a murderer because you think bad about it. And we've all thought bad about people, haven't we? Okay. So it brought me to the scriptures. Every time I have a conversation with people, it brings me to the scriptures. Isn't that good? That we have the God's love letter. I say, I got to go search this out. What's the Bible say? Not what Ross says. You know what I'm saying? So this is my bringing my personal study to you about struggling with sin as a Christian. What is the key to victory when struggling with sin? I'm going to give you an answer from Scripture. In a minute, read Psalms 145:18 and Psalms 46:1, and I'll tell you when to read those, just to get you primed up for that. The answer is this. When you're struggling with sin, the key to victory in our struggles with sin lies not in ourselves. Say, I can't do it alone. But in God and His faithfulness to us. See, God is faithful to His children no matter where they are, where they go, what they do. They fall into sin. Yeah, Peter and all the apostles, they sinned up a storm too. But He didn't desert them. But it's faithfulness to us. It's the Lord's faithfulness through when we have times of sin and struggle over it. So I want y'all to be encouraged. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, man, as when you need to call on Jesus. When you're in sin or falling into sin, there it is in those verses. You need to call on the one that forgave you of your sin, and He will continue to forgive you of your sin. He knows you're going to sin. I see preachers on TV. I see people on Facebook that actually say, there's a little sparring back and forth with my Christian friends. They say, here on earth, you can actually come to a point of sinlessness. And I'm going like, man, that ain't biblical. It says it all through scriptures that we're all going to sin. I said, what? That's ridiculous. So I'm set free in Christ. I've been born again. The Lord is near to all who call on Him. Here's the thing. Do you call on Him? Hello? See, when you call on Him, He inclines His ear. Like you call your family on the phone, He wants you to call on Him when you're having troubles with sin. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. Now, you can't just call like, yeah, God, will you forgive me for that sin I did yesterday? Oh, thanks. God, see you later. Bye. Is that in truth? Nah, you ain't going to hear that prayer. Maybe he goes like, if you do it out of humility, God, I am so sorry, Lord. Forgive me for that sin and what I did to that person and what I said to them. Please forgive me in Jesus' name. And help me, Lord, try not to do it anymore in Jesus' name. Boom! Freedom! You are free from that sin. Because the Bible says He's forgotten about it. Don't you bring it up anymore. And don't point your fingers at people and say, I don't sin as much as she does. Well, don't get so cocky about it, because you know what? Guess who's going to come knocking at your door when you least expect it? Hello? And he ain't going to come in a red suit with pitchforks out of his head. He comes as an angel of light. Is that what the Bible says? Mm-hmm. Like your old friends doing what you used to do? Hey, got a little something going on, something. Just one more time. Come around and say hello to the brothers and sisters. One more time. One more time equals what? Another time? Could equal another time. Could equal another time. Y'all keep your armor of God on, y'all. Some of y'all need this. Because I needed it. Okay, who has a 145 song? Go ahead, read it.
The Lord is near to all who call on Him. To all who call on Him is to be true.
There, it's simple enough. See, I like to keep it down low where everybody can understand it. Okay? Turn your ear and go, shh. Psalm 46:1. Go ahead.
God is our refuge and strength in ever-present help and trouble.
How good is that? Refuge and strength in times of trouble. How many of you had some trouble this week? Oh, see, we all in this together. Thank y'all for not talking, because it's loud when y'all talk and hear y'all. Thank y'all for doing it. It's just an echo in here. It's hard. It's hard. Don't y'all help me out there. There's no getting around it. Okay, turn to your neighbor and say, there's no getting around it. You're going to sin. Okay, so, but we all struggle with sin. Romans 3:23. What's the Bible say about it? Romans 3:23. Who has it? Who has the card?
For which one?
For Romans 3:23.
3:22.
Right, read it.
The righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ.
First, you got to get saved. Then
there is no difference. All these things.
That scripture is written for Christians. That was for the church. That was for the early church. You don't say that to a non-believer because, you know, you don't want to make him feel good. The law convicts us of our sin. Do not lie, do not steal, do not covet, do not commit adultery. It tells you that you are a sinner and Jesus died for your sins. That was written to Christian church. Come on, y'all. Give me an amen or oh my on that. Amen, Brother Ross. Amen. I can sign my own Bible, too, if I need to. There's no getting around it. Even the great Apostle Paul lamented over his ongoing struggle with sin. The Apostle, he lamented over his own sin. He was the greatest Apostle in the New Testament. He lamented. Watch. This is interesting. For I know that nothing good dwells in me. See, he's an honest Apostle. There's nothing good that dwells in me, not one thing except for who? Jesus. Can you say that about yourself? So I'm going to look at your surveys. For I know nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. Say flesh.
Yeah.
That flesh wants something. He always wants something. One more of this, one more of that, a little of this, a little of that. You don't know about the flesh struggles, right? For I have the desire to do what is right. See, if you're a Christian, you have desire to do what is right. Before you were a Christian, you didn't care. You were under and no accountability. The Bible is your accountability now. So when you sin, your conscience should say, you're sinning because you're a Christian. And that's a good thing. You need a healthy conscience. But not the ability to carry it out. He wants to do what's right, but sometimes he doesn't carry it out. Wow. For I do. Now this is a tongue twister. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. That is powerful. Hey, you know what? To a Christian, that's very encouraging. Because he's telling the truth. If he wants to do good, sometimes he don't do good. And when he doesn't do good, you know, he feels sorry about it. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it. And hallelujah! It's not him doing it. It's the sin that dwells within me. Here's the thing, y'all. When you were born with a sinful nature. You had the propensity. Say propensity. I can't spell it or say it. To sin. There's only one person that's ever been born that did not have a sinful nature. His name is Jesus Christ. His Father is God. Some preacher said the other day on TV, well, Christ could have sinned. That's blasphemy. Because his Father was God. If he could have sinned, we're in trouble. He could have paid for sin. He was born without a sinful nature. See, a little boy, I'm around little boys and they go, mine, to something, mine. Well, they sinned already. They didn't have to be taught sin. It was greed. See? You don't go to sin class to sin. Hello? Anybody gone to sin class? Life will bring it to you, won't it? Am I doing okay here? It's going to be encouraging now. So he's saying, you know, I want to do good and I don't do good. It's the sin that dwells within me. Romans 7, 18, 20. Look at your cards.
I'm sorry. I've got it now. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to. This I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I do it, who do it. But it is sin living in me that does it.
Okay, so we still have struggles with sin. That's what he's saying. But he knows he didn't want to sin. See, if you don't have a problem, if you don't think about sin the way God thinks about it, there's a real good chance you're not a Christian. Paul's struggle with sin was real. Say real.
Real.
Say struggles.
Struggles.
So much that he cried out, oh, I like this one. I like it. I like it. I like it a lot. This is what he says, the greatest apostle in the New Testament. Listen. What a wretched man I am. Oh, tell it like it is. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from the body that is subject to death? 7:24, Romans 7:24. Keep your cards. Look at your picture.
Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ our Lord.
There's the rescue. The rescue is there. He knew his rescue was Jesus because Jesus saved him. Jesus is going to help him do better. But, you know, he knows he's going to need to call on Jesus for forgiveness. Jesus is like a life raft for us. It's out there, we're sinking, and the life raft is right there. He is our life raft. He is our life saver. He's our forgiver. Yet in the next breath, he answers his own question, as I do sometimes, as well as ours. He says, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ our Lord. Who delivers you from sin? Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not me. And some people say, well, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to sin less, and that's going to get me to heaven. Don't get your house cleaned up, y'all. That's the worst thing you could do, is get your life cleaned up and die in your own sins without being a Christian. You let God do the cleaning up. Get saved first, and let Him clean you up. Don't get all clean and shiny and looking bright, not doing all the things you used to do, and die in your own sins. You're still going to hell if you're not born again. Jesus said you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. Have you? I'm going to check out y'all's surveys. In the passage, Paul not only provides us with the very key to victory when he's struggling with sin, but he explains it. The never-ending pull, I call it tug of war. Conundrum. It's like, be like this. Pull. Sin. Don't sin. Oh, sin. Y'all play tug of war before?
Yes.
Does that happen to you as a Christian, spiritually speaking? Yeah, it does. I mean, y'all a bunch of angels in here. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Be honest, y'all. This is a good passage now. In this passage, Paul not only provides us with the key to victory when struggling with sin, but he explains the never-ending tug of war between our sinful nature. See, we're born with a sinful nature, even now. Even now we have that propensity to sin because we're in the flesh, and the spiritual nature. It's a tug of war. Flesh, spirit. My spirit says, no, I don't want to sin. My flesh goes, one more time. Yeah, one more time, right. So then what he says in Romans 7:25b, so then I myself serve the law of God with my mind. That means he thinks good thoughts. He knows he wants to obey God, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Do not lie. Do not. You know, I believe his problem was, everybody's got their own thing about the thorn in his flesh. He probably was extremely jealous of these false apostles that were getting all the attention. And he wasn't getting a whole lot, but he was speaking the truth. They were speaking partial truth. I think he was envious of them getting all the glory when he was out there just giving all he had to God, and they were all like doing stuff. There's a lot of false teachers out there, y'all. You be careful. And if the teaching doesn't come from the Bible, check out. Everything good? Good. Okay, cool. Earlier, Apostle Paul said, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. Romans 7:14.
We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold under the slave of sin.
There it is. Simple. He's really coming home with it. Apostle Paul's comparing our sinful nature, our flesh, to a slave. Have you ever been a slave to something? Come on, y'all. I don't need to go there. Well, there are a lot of things we could have been a slave to. Yeah, okay. Everybody gets that, right? So he's speaking truth here. He's comparing our sinful nature to our flesh is to a slave. Just as a slave obeys his master. When was the time in your life when Christ was not your master and you obeyed whatever you wanted to do because it made you feel good? Whatever. There's so much. There's a long list of stuff. Slave. You are a slave to it. I haven't started preaching yet, in case anybody wants to know. Just, this was a great lesson. I studied it for 3 days. Just as a slave obeys his master, our flesh obeys sin. However, say however. There's always good news in the Bible. He tells it like it is, but he don't leave you hanging. He tells you how to get up, be victorious. He don't just say, hey, you're a sinner. You ain't got no chance in hell to get to heaven. He doesn't say that. He says, we have become spiritual beings under the law of Christ. Our inner selves are under the influence and ownership of God's grace. Say, God's grace. Say, grace. So now, as a Christian, if you're one, you're under the ownership of God. You're a child of the living God. Whoo! At least we kept chillables. And the life of Christ. So you're controlled by God. You're under His ownership. You're a child of the living God in grace through Christ. Romans 5:21. These are awesome scriptures, y'all.
Romans 5:21. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
See? It comes through Christ. Righteousness comes through Christ, not being a better person. Somebody said, well, I'm 70% good. God should let me in. Huh? What about the other 30%? Well, that's a different story. You got to be perfect to enter the kingdom of God. Only one person lived on this earth that was perfect. Jesus Christ. And we're called to be. Can you imagine? In the flesh. As a man. But God. The God-man. Man, that's when you think about that Christ was God. 100% God. 100% man. And He lived. And He was tempted in all points. It says in the Bible, Jesus was tempted in all points, yet without sin. So God knows how you feel when you're tempted. Somebody said, God doesn't know how I feel right now. I said, wait a minute, hold on. Did anybody ever tell you that God came to earth as man? He said, no, I've been in church all my life, never heard it. What are these preachers preaching? I don't get it. And he goes, really? I said, God knows how you feel right now. Have you been broke? He's been broke, health problems, family problems. Christ didn't have a dime. He had no place to lay his head. If you wanted to write him a letter, you couldn't find his address. He didn't have a home. He didn't have no money wallet. He had family, you know, friends turned his back on him. How many of you had some friends turn their back? You know, when they turn their back on you, we ain't got nothing else to give them. Mm-hmm. Where's my limo at on Saturday night? Mm-hmm. You used to come pick us up in your rented limo, You used to get us in through the front door, and then we'd have to wait an hour in line to go to the club, and you know what I'm saying? But you don't do that anymore, so we're going to go somewhere else. I'm just being honest, y'all. Come on. I mean, when you dress like this, you can get in front of a line. That's a joke, y'all. Y'all can laugh at that. Paul is comparing our sinful nature to our flesh. We got that. However, as believers in Christ, we've become spiritual beings under Christ. We've read Romans 5:21. As long as we are living in this world, come on. As long as we're living in this world, everybody lives on the earth, say amen. Okay. Anybody living in Mars right now, say, oh my.
Oh my.
Oh yeah, I thought you were a Martian. You look a little strange. I can play. I'm glad y'all have a sense of humor because that's important to me. You know, making people laugh is a big deal for me because I see a lot of people in despair. Before I preach, I like to make them. I've been there. I just try to make them smile and laugh, and then they open up to what I need to say. I see children in bad moods at the shelter a lot, and it tears my heart out. But I make them laugh. I'm goofy. They like goofiness. I'm a big cartoon guy to them. I'm like a big cartoon. So I give them a smile. And then they go, oh, Mr. One of them asked me, oh my gosh. He came up and hugged me as tight as he could. He says, Mr. Ross, will you be my dad for a day? As long as we are living in this world, our sinful nature and fleshly desires will remain with us. So give yourself a break. Say, turn to your neighbor and say, give yourself a break.
Give yourself a break.
We also have a new nature in Christ. Hallelujah. New nature in Christ. Not in being a good person. This leads to what? A struggle between what we want to do and what we actually do. So you can say, well, I want to do that, but do the opposite thing all you want. But it's going to have to come to a time where you're going to have to do what you actually say you want to do to really, really please God. As sin continues to assault our earthly nature, the struggle is a normal part of living a Christian life. Come on. It's a normal part. If preachers or teachers don't teach this, they're not teaching from Romans and Psalms, they're not teaching the Word of God. To me, it would be discouraging not to teach this if it's in the Bible, because this is part of a Christian life. If you're not getting tempted, you're probably not a Christian. Jesus was tempted, he resisted it, and he was hungry. Say hungry.
Hungry.
If you be the Son of God, turn that stone into bread. He was fasting for 40 days. If it had been me, I'd have kicked him off the cliff. But Jesus was perfect and he was fasting for a reason. I'd have kicked that devil off the cliff, but Jesus was perfect. That wasn't his mission. That would be my flesh. He didn't live in the flesh. It's interesting to note that the Apostle Paul, the greatest of all the apostles, declared of all the sinners, 1 Timothy 1:15. Watch this one now. This is going to blow your socks off. Come on. The Apostle Paul said, I was the chief of sinners. That's a man that's going to get saved. That's a man that's saved. That's a man that knows his sin. That's a man that knows God. He said, you know what? Before I became a Christian, I went to persecute Christians. I went to throw people in jail. I did all kinds of bad stuff. I was the most religious guy in the world. I am the chief of sinners. So turn to your neighbor and say, I'm the chief of sinners. No, turn to your other neighbor and say, no, I'm the chief of sinners.
No, I'm the chief of sinners.
No, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm glad y'all from honest sinners over there. Paul affirms the struggles we all have and we battle with sin and temptation in our life. He gets it. That's why he encourages us. That's why he's telling us through the scriptures that we're going to struggle, but he's going to give us the antidote. The struggles are real, and they can be real debilitating, right? Listen, you could get caught with a crime. Jesus could forgive you, but you could still spend 20 years in prison. You could have sex without protection and get AIDS and die. You could do, there's all kinds of ways that sin is debilitating, and you could be forgiven. There's no sin unforgivable, but you still have to pay. You still have to pay the price here, you see, because some of us have done some real bad things and just didn't get caught. I knew that would go over like, woo! So we've done some bad things. We've sinned against God. We grow weary from the never-ending temptations. Aren't you? See, it's in heaven, we're not going to be tempted anymore. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In heaven, we're not going to cry anymore.
Hallelujah.
And we won't need any money because we're walking on streaks of gold. That ain't going to matter.
Hallelujah.
And right now, God is preparing a place for you in your heavenly mansion. Yeah. Invite me over for a heavenly barbecue if you go before me, okay? I'll come check out your path. So he's preparing a place for you, and it's going to be something that you cannot describe. Eye has not seen or ears have heard what God has done for those who love him. Oh, hallelujah. It ain't over yet, y'all. Say, keep on keeping on.
Keep on keeping on.
Say, don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give out.
Don't give out.
And don't give in.
Don't give in.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
But I'm tired of being tempted, yeah, I can say it. And falling short of God's glory, yep, we all fall short. The Apostle Paul, in essence, is telling us that we need not to pretend that we're untouched by our struggles. That's the worst thing you could do, is not be honest to God. God, I'm struggling with this issue. I'm struggling with this sin. Help me and have mercy on me, Lord. That's what we need to be talking about. He knows it anyway. He wants to see if your heart is real. He's the great physician. He can cure anything. But you gotta, like we said at the first, you gotta call on him. I suggest praying before you got out of bed. Sometimes I forget. So I get back in bed and pray. Start off right before you hit that ground. It don't have to be a long prayer. Just get that prayer out. Because sometimes we get so busy, we forget, and all of a sudden the day is gone. We hadn't prayed one time. The Apostle Paul has been there. He understands, and through our efforts to do right, seems desperate. We do have hope, though, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 7:25, we read that. Hebrews 4:15, watch this. This is powerful.
Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin.
That is one of the most powerful. Y'all tune your listening up a little bit, because that's very encouraging for us. He knows everything about how it is to be tempted. That's why God came to earth, so he knows how it is when you're tempted. He knows the struggles it is. He knows that. The devil didn't want him to go to the cross. And he knew he was going to suffer, die, humiliating death. He knew that he was going to be beaten unrecognizably. Did you know that about Isaiah 53? Did anybody? He was beaten so bad. God punished sin through his sinless flesh that no one recognized Jesus. Come on. That would be like me walking in here and being beaten so bad, you'd be going like, who is this guy? So God hated sin so much that he made his son to be sin for us, and he knew no sin. He didn't just crucify Jesus. He punished him for your sin and mine. Glory to God. If you were a dancing Baptist, you'd be dancing all over the place. Pentecostal, whatever. I mean, that's enough. That's enough to just go, you know what? I'm so close to seeing God face to face. I'm 58 and a half years old. Give me some encouragement for that. I'll pay y'all later. Anyway, maybe I'll let my gray grow up. So he gets it. We grow weary, right? So he understands. He understands through Jesus Christ our Lord, we can have victory over sin. Say, there's victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He walks with me. A true Christian will war with Satan in his daily efforts to undermine us. He can't take your salvation away, y'all, but he can try to make your life miserable. Hello? Hello? He wants to steal your joy that God gave you. He can't take your salvation away because God gave that to you, but he wants to make your life miserable, and a lot of Christians allow him to. Am I preaching? Yes. I need to send this one all across the world. So he wants to undermine us. I don't even like them to use his name. I just call him our enemy. The devil is the god, the little G-O-D, little G of this age. The little G, god of this age. God said, you can have it. So he's trying to undermine us. The devil is the ruler of this world, and we are living behind enemy lines. And oh, by the way, don't go picking no fights with him, because he's going to come pick a fight with you first. People go like, I'm ready. I'm going to go pick a fight with Satan. I wouldn't mess with that, because he's going to come anyway. So be prayed up, read up, and know your position in Christ, so when it comes, you'll have the strength through Holy Spirit to resist whatever comes. 2017 wasn't the greatest, one of my greatest years as a Christian. We all fall short. My greatest sin that I'd experienced, I ain't gonna tell y'all. I wouldn't tell y'all. Don't tell anybody what your greatest sin is, but you know, God knows it already. He's the one that can forgive you. I would never tell you disclose that, because it's not necessary. It's not necessary that you disclose it to anybody. But we do these confidential prayer cards because the Lord wants us as Christians to intercede for you. Sometimes it's hard to pray, isn't it? When words can't come, they don't come out. We've got somebody that can help you with your prayer requests. Isn't it good?
Yeah.
A true Christian will war against Ephesians 2:2. We're living behind enemy lines. Ephesians 2:2. Anybody got that card? Ephesians 2:2.
As for you were dead in your transgressions and
dead. You are a dead dog. What's the rest?
And when you live, when you follow the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient.
Preach that gospel. Don't you love scripture? We've really got a lot of scripture today. Ephesians 6:12.
For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, and
it is spiritual forces. I needed that. And my issues are not with you as Christians, brothers and sisters. It's with the enemy. We're behind enemy lines. Our only refuge is Jesus Christ, Son of God. Read John 12:31. Nobody's got John 12:31?
No.
Okay. It says basically, with our focus on Christ, say Christ.
Christ.
Say Christ.
Christ.
Okay. Christ is the Messiah in Greek. It means Jesus was his earthly name. Christ is his designation. He was the Messiah, and that's Jewish. Christ is Greek for Messiah. However, we will be able to cultivate a mindset that proclaims we'd rather die than do anything to hurt God. See, that's what your mind should be like God is when it comes to sin. So you should feel bad about it. And believe me, when we sin, we should feel bad about it. That's what will drive us to repentance. Who has Matthew 16:24?
Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
Pick up your cross, and sometimes it's going to be heavy. He never said it was going to be easy. Turn to your neighbor and say, being a Christian ain't always easy.
Being a Christian ain't always easy.
In fact, it's harder than being a non-Christian. Oh, yeah. You're accountable. Your conscience is in God's Word. You're accountable to it. But you're going to have some big time reward, y'all. Hold on, y'all. And then you'll get rewarded here on earth, too. You don't have to wait to heaven. Some people get more blessed than others. Others more blessed than others. But if your sister or brother is getting blessed, don't be jealous about it. Just wait your turn. When we give ourselves to Christ totally, totally, say totally like those California. Like a valley girl. Totally. That was a good movie. What was that movie? No, the one with the blonde hair. Oh, that was a real good movie. Cheesy, but great. I like it was a good movie. It was like 1980s.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, back to the Bible. Satan will flee from you. He will. You know what he'll do? He'll go to find somebody else. Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus, go somewhere else. And because you're doing it with the power of the Holy Spirit, said. You can't do it on your own flesh. Because you were slaves to Satan before you got saved. And if you're not saved, you're still a slave to Satan. That's why we want you to get saved today, if you're not. Satan will flee from us. When we draw near to God, draw near to Him. If you like somebody, you want to get a little near to Him. Get a little near to God. Through His Word. He loves it when you read His love letter. If I wrote a big old thick letter to you, you know, it's just 50 pages, man. My heart was just in it. And I gave it to you. It was all wrapped up. I gave it to you. And you go, oh, yes, it's a lot of reading. And you put it in a drawer. Shut the drawer. And it didn't read it. And I found out about it. It would more than hurt my feelings. It would be crushed. And I believe that's how God is when we don't read His love letter to us. Keep it. A dusty Bible shows your character. I came up with a little trick. You'll hear it? Just so I can read more. It's like I need to drink more water. I put a little cranberry juice in it to make it red. It's easier. In my mind, it's easier to drink a little red water than just water. It's a little trick on it. But I put Bibles all over my house, open. In the living room, my bedroom, my bathroom, my kitchen, my office. Just open them up. So when you go in, you go, it doesn't matter what page it is. You just look at it, just read a couple of verses and go, wow, that may be the one you need all day to get through your day. If you got a headache, if you got aspirin there, you're staring at them going, my head hurts so bad you don't take the aspirin. What's wrong with this picture? Take a BC powder and you come back strong and you come back strong. Man, we used to do that without, what were we thinking about? I'll just spit on my tongue and add it. Gosh, that was nasty. Anyway, it would solve the headache problem. But a key to our victory or our struggle with sin lies in the very promise of God. Say, I love God's promises.
I love God's promises.
I love God's promises.
I love God's promises.
Because I've been promised a lot in my life and I've been hurt a lot of time on the promises. But God's promises always will be kept. You know, boring anybody yet? No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. See, Jesus was tempted in all points. All points. Somebody said, well, he was. Oh yeah, he was tempted in all points. Say all. Say A double L. Say all in the Greek means all. In all points. So name something that you were tempted with. Jesus was tempted too. So He knows how you feel. So you can overcome victory and temptation and sin and walk righteously. Ooh, I even got it. I'm starting to warm up. I mean, spiritually speaking. This is good. This is good, encouraging words for Christians today. God is faithful. Say, God is faithful.
God is faithful.
Even when we are faithless.
Even when we are faithless.
Sometimes our faith drifts away a little bit, just like a sheep. If you're a Christian, okay, she needs to. Do your greatest sheep impersonation. 1, 2, 3. That was a cat. That was a cat or a goat. I don't know. Somebody went moo moo. We're sheep. We're not. You know. Sometimes we stray off. All sheep will go astray. Sheep are God's people. Sometimes we just go over here for a minute. We think it's better over here, over here, over here. And the shepherd always takes you to the green pastures, and you go like, "What about that one? I like that." And he may allow you to go over there and eat that grass, but that sour grass is going to make you sick. shepherd will still come and over there and grab you and take you back to where the good grass is. Come on, y'all. I'm preaching to myself. And he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the way out of temptation, he will provide the way to escape. Here you go, here you go, here you go, here you go. All right, here you go. You got an interest. It says, sin enters here. Mm-hmm. And then you got an escape door. It says, forgiveness is out this door. See? See? He gives you an out. He's going to give you an out. What father would not give his children an out if they asked for it or needed it? He's going to give you an out. Find that escape route. And find that forgiveness escape route. Say, turn to your neighbor and say, I like forgiveness escape routes. I have to use them now and again. Sure do. That you may be able to endure it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. That's what it says. I'm just going to close now. I don't want to, but we got to. Now here's the encouraging part. Encouragement. Say, so, Brother Ross, thank you for the encouragement in God's Word. As true believers in Christ, now here's I love this word, true believers. I know some false believers too. And the Bible speaks of false believers, those who just make some flippant confession, and it doesn't go the way they planned, so they go back to the way it was. And they call it backsliding because they never slid forward to start with.
Wow.
Yeah. A lot of those that just didn't work out for them. They tried Jesus like a suit of clothes that just didn't fit quite right. So they put him back on the rack. Never being a Christian to start with. Hypocrites. You know some? It tore Jesus up. All those religious people and the Pharisees, they looked religious, they dressed religious, they prayed 3 times a day. They would tithe down to the nth degree of their little spices, and they would go out into the public square to pray so everybody could hear them pray. Hallelujah. God, I'm glad I'm not like these sinners over here. Hypocrites! Religious hypocrites. And if you're just praying in public and you're not praying privately, you need some work. You need to find out what the problem is. Some people like to just make some big public prayers. I'm a good public prayer, and I'm an elder at church, so I have to do prayer duties, and I have people under me that need a word of encouragement, that need somebody to talk to, that I was elected. I didn't apply for the job. I was elected by the head pastors and whatnot. But our key to victory in our struggle is in God's promise that we can have it. As true believers, if you're really a true believer, you got to be born again. When did it happen? I can't really remember. Maybe you're not a Christian. A true believer in Christ, even when we face trials, say trials.
Trials.
I spell trials trails. I can't spell. I said trails. I'm glad I caught it. It ain't no tails. It's trails. It's trials. I can't even spell check. I'm sorry. I can't believe I caught it. I'm getting better. So as we close, even if we face trials far beyond our ability to endure them, when you just don't feel like you can do it anymore, I'm going to go back to the way it was. At least I had a car. At least I had some bling. At least I had some money. At least I had this. At least I had that. No, stay where you are. If you're a Christian, just stay true to God. Let Him do a work in you. He ain't finished with you yet. Read His Word. Do what it says do. Even when we face trials beyond our ability to endure, 2 Corinthians 1:8. Anybody have that? What it says is we can echo the reassuring words of the great Apostle Paul, who declares, God has delivered us. Woo! Deliver me from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Deliver me. Only God can save. Only Jesus can save. And He'll keep you saved to the end of time until you stand in front of Him and He says, well done, my good and faithful servant. I got something to show you. I got a house I made for you by my hands. It will never corrupt. I won't have to take out trash anymore. I hate that chore, don't y'all? I don't like taking out trash. There's some chores I don't like to do. But it ain't gonna be no trash in heaven. I don't know how it's gonna work out. I don't know. It's gonna be nice. But 2 Corinthians 1:8 says, Paul just declares it. God has delivered us and will continue. Say, will continue.
He
does it at salvation. He does it on your walk when you're a baby Christian. But you know, I'm around babies a lot. You know what babies do? They'll pick up anything and start chewing on it. It could be a bottle of water or it could be a stick of dynamite. They don't know any better. They're babies. So as you grow as a Christian and you read His Word, because that's the only way you're going to grow, drinking the spiritual milk of God, and that's the Word. When you start growing, you realize dangers. See, you mature. Say mature.
Mature.
Mature in Christ.
Mature in Christ.
I used to say mature, and I never could find the CH in that. Yeah, really. I'm not an English major. I am mature. Somebody said that. Mature? Mature? No, mature. Okay. You want to mature in Christ, the only way you can do it is praying and reading, supplementing to God. So if you want to get closer to God, you want to be more of a stronger, more mature Christian, read the Word. God has delivered us and will continue to deliver us. 2 Corinthians 1:10. And finally, for the fourth time, maybe it's the fifth time, and finally, we're going to knock this out of the park now. Say, it's time for the grand slam. That's what I like. There's no other score greater than a grand slam. There's nothing that could ever consume. You can't make more than 4 runs at one time. God has delivered us and will continue to deliver us in this world. Be encouraged by these words. And finally, the psalmist gives us these words of encouragement. Does anybody have Psalm 37, 3 and 5?
I do.
Read it loud.
Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desire of your heart.
Yeah, this is, I'm gonna break it down. Say, break it down, Ron. Trust. Here's what you gotta do. There's conditions on. Ask whatever you want, He'll give it to you. Ask whatever you want. He'll give it to you. Sounds a little like a blank check to me. Huh? And watch it now. He says, trust in me and do good. Two conditions. Come on, y'all. It don't come free now. Trust in me and do good. Say, do good. Okay, he's putting the conditions. That's why I love the Bible. It tells you what the conditions are, and then the promise comes on the backside. Trust in the Lord. Say, trust in the Lord.
Trust in the Lord.
And do good.
Dwell in the land.
And befriend faithfulness.
Delight yourself in the Lord.
And He will give you.
The desires
of your heart.
Yes.
Come on. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Dwell in the land. Be faithful. Delight yourself in the Lord. Before you knew Jesus, you were delighting in a lot of other things, I'm sure. Like me. Right? You know, you go find delight somewhere else. It's only temporary, though. Delight in the Lord is eternal. So he says, do all these things, delight yourself in the Lord, and now, ask me what you want. So you can't ask him what your desires of your heart is if you're doing the opposite of what he said you had to do. Come on. That's good preaching. People just want, like, what's God done for me lately? Have you obeyed what he said in Scripture? Hello? They go, what? Bless me now, Lord, bless me now, bless me, bless me, bless me now, Lord, bless me. They gotta bless me now, watch. Well, wait a minute, you gotta do what God says do. He says do all these things, and then he will give you to the desire. You need a better job? If you're doing all these things, you need a better job? Ask him. You want better friends? Ask him. But you gotta be doing these stuff first. Trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the hand, be faithfulness, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. The last Psalm 37:3-5 says, commit. You know what commitment is. Y'all being here is a commitment. Commitment. Somewhere along the line you had to commit to making a change. Is that true? You can't just, like, you know, just kind of fall into it. You got to make that commitment. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act. Say it. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act. I just made that up. I promise you, I hadn't practiced that. Come on, y'all. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity. Anytime we speak your word, it's a golden silver platter opportunity just to be able to read your word, use verses of scripture for sermons and teaching. We don't just throw something, a good idea out there. We use verses that you have in your love letter, the Bible. And I pray that everybody listening to my words in this sermon, or maybe not my sermon, but whatever the case may be, I hope and pray that everyone hearing my voice has truly what Jesus said you must do to enter the kingdom of heaven. You must be saved from sin, the consequences of sin, and the power and the penalty of dying in your own sins. He called it being born again to a religious person in that day, Nicodemus. So anyone listening to my voice that's not saved by grace through faith alone in Christ alone, I pray that today, not tomorrow, because we're not promised tomorrow, that today they would call out to you. Maybe they've been in church all their life. Maybe they got baptized. Maybe their father was a deacon. Maybe they give to the soup kitchen once a week or whatever. Maybe they do all these good things, and they're all good. But they've never been born again because they never heard that you had to be born again. So, Father, we ask you, people can use Psalm 53 or 51 as their repentant prayer if they need help with that. And all of us who have been saved, we know we're saved, we're true Christians. I pray that not through my excitement about the Word or my amplified actions, I pray that I spoke with clarity and precision, and all my personality was not what was seen. It's your word that was heard that will make a difference in the lives of the people listening to this message. Father, we praise you through Christ. Holy Spirit, come upon us. Dwell in us. Comfort us. Drive us. Consume us, Lord, that we may become the Christians that you want us to be. We ask it all in the precious, holy name of Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of David, and all of God's children said,